Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and WNST.net. We're doing Baltimore Positive. We're at State Fair in Catonsville eating delicious Benedicts.
You've eaten. Damien and I can't wait. So we gotta move this segment along because right. Well, this segment is standing between us and some good eggs Benedicts.
All right, go ahead. I want to get into this because we talked about mayor and the things the next mayor is going to have and the story that needs to be portrayed. Who is the next mayor in your mind, Damien?
I like the word amateur, and my uncle, who is Dylan O'Brien's from Catonsville, went on to write Sons of Anarchy's music and the new bunch of film music, My Name is Earl, all that stuff. He says to me, Damien, this town has so much energy, so much positivity, but you need somebody that loves the city and wants to love the job. The word amateur, I always thought, was a terrible thing to call somebody an amateur. I think the city needs an amateur as a mayor, and by amateur I mean somebody that the word comes for the love of. For the love of, from the love of. So wants to love the job, it's got to love the city. Let's start there. But I think we need part engineer, part marketing person. It would be nice to have somebody that knew all Baltimore's such an influencer town. In other words, if you can nail down the African-American community leadership and the Jewish community leadership and the Catholic community leadership, those are the three things this town was built on. They're all three historic communities globally. First Catholic Church, Frederick Douglass, the Jewish community here is stronger than anywhere else in the country. If you can get those people focused and understand who can help you connect the dots inside of government and out, you know, that gives you a big head start. So culturally, you got to be in the game. You got to love those people. You got to love those communities. And once you do that, they start telling you that they start wayfinding for you. Hey, you ought to be talking to Rachel Monroe, not me. You ought to be, you ought to be talking to Zach McDaniel, not me. You ought to be, so they will help you wayfind. And then you need to pull those principal thought leaders around you and have them activate their networks for your vision.
It's about people.
It's what Dutch said.
It is what Dutch said. And we have this great group. You mentioned Rachel Monroe and others. We have this great group of people that are, the Matt Gallagher's, the Michael Criers. I mean, we got this great group of folks who are really dedicated and believe in this city.
You just got a call from Ben Jealous, right? Guy wants to run for mayor. Right.
Well, I can't confirm or deny that, but I think people are saying.
I was talking to Nestor.
Does he even live in Baltimore?
So listen.
Live in Baltimore?
I'm sure he'll appreciate the plug. Look, you're Ben Jealous. Here's my advice for you. You're Nestor Aparicio. People talking about running for mayor. Go talk to Matt Gallagher. Right? Like, go talk to Cullum O'Comertoon. Go talk to Michael Crier. Go talk to people that have been in the city when we've won the Super Bowl or have gotten Under Armour to expand or had been there for the big wins, and they will tell you sort of what's possible. I don't want to talk to any of these people. I don't want to talk to Ben Jealous until he's talked to Matt Gallagher, because all I'm going to do is say, why are you talking to me? Talk to Matt Gallagher. He knows so much more than you about the city of Baltimore and how to some quick fixes and some good long home runs we can aim for. So, that's my advice to people. It's you got to get out there and start talking to people. And Malia and I disagree all the time, as Nestor and I do, your former guest. It's like, who writes the questions? The politicians writes the questions. The pollster writes the questions. Why don't we have some West Baltimoreans write the questions? Why don't we have somebody in Govins write the questions?
Well, I think Malia addressed that. I think she – it's funny. I think she would actually agree with you on that. And she's looking at things like Be More Philly.
That's right.
And what's the L.A. Spotlight L.A.?
Yeah.
Where they're really taking civic
That's
engagement
right. You're right.
to another level.
You're
and
right.
And I think
right.
what Malia laid out for us was that whoever it is, because I think it's way too early to do the horse race thing, whether it's a Ben Jealous, a Nestor Aparicio, a Jack Young, a Brandon
they
Scott,
all need to get in.
A Bill Ferguson. We need a real discussion by a lot of people who care about the city. And I think what you said, Damien, is at its core, it has to be someone that when you look at them, you say, you know what? All BS aside, that person, him or her, really loves this city.
And they're getting up every day to make it better. That's getting up every single day to spread the seed of how can I 4 years from now leave this gig better than I found it, and not richer than I found it, not better connected than I found but it's astonishing to me. Can we talk about the Catherine Pugh just one? It's mind-boggling to me that you'd have a gig like that, knowing for the rest of your life if you did a good job, you would have that for. I mean, O'Malley, all things aside, like I agree, disagree. You work with him, Democrat, whatever. I found all my old Ehrlich stuff. People to think that I'm a Republican basher. Bob Ehrlich was at my wedding. You called me my wife.
Great competitor.
And a Catonsville Arbutus guy, right? A guy from the side of town, right?
Absolutely.
You know, I talk about Catherine Pugh, and I say, for her, what did she do every day? You know, what was the job? What did Governor Schaefer or Mayor Schaefer do every day? What did Martin O'Malley do every day? What did DeLisandro do every day? What does the mayor of Detroit do every day?
I've never understood this. But I said it's the greatest story.
What is the job?
It's
where's the job
story
description for
it? We'll talk about that.
It's the greatest story in America. There's so many stories going out there. It's the time when everybody is on their social media. They're not watching Mary Bubala on television.
I agree with that.
It's on. They're watching the fight on Facebook or the fight on social media. So the mayor's got to get out and meet the people of Baltimore and tell their story over and over again. We are a contentopolis. We have so much content in this town, and in a town in a world where so many people are starving for content that means something that's authentic. We got it. Seinfeld will tell you they got banks and coffee shops in New York City. And they got a ball club. That's all they got. They don't have real people that are struggling or winning or losing or crying or laughing. It's
but all you have to do is walk down Frederick Road here, and you'll see all that between here and GL Shacks. Literally. And that's just the Catonsville story. We all have these stories.
And it's happening. And I think we know that it's going to happen in the city. We know that Port Covington is real, this incredible private investment. We know the Trade Point over in the Baltimore County, but literally on the city line. You got all the reinvestment in the markets. We've got these great things happening. The other thing that the next mayor has to do, and you ask me about whether it was my leadership or the people that I worked with, certainly Kevin Kamenetz, and this will make...
Well, you inherited something that was pretty well built.
Oh, right? Well built. But here's where I'm going with this, is the mayor has to be outraged at incompetence. The mayor has to be, and no one was ever more outraged at incompetence than my friend Kevin Kamenetz. He believed...
I've been outraged for 20 years at the Orioles' incompetence on the radio. I can out incompetence. I've seen a lot of it.
He believed that government should work and be there for the people and work together with the people to create jobs, as Dutch said, to invest in infrastructure, to make sure the schools are good. Listen, you've been reading a lot of articles. I've been reading a lot of articles about cities, what it takes to turn around. They all start with education. So let's cut to the chase.
Yeah, and save
Oh, you want to get into that? I'll say this.
Go ahead.
Baltimore County, yes, it is well built and constructed, but it's not nimble. It's kind of like a tank, and we are moving in very fast times. In Baltimore County, we have an executive who's put forward kind of a milquetoast Jim Brosian budget. We're trying to hit people behind the tree on taxes. It was a big chance for Baltimore County to go, you know, this place was sort of came together on what divided us, sort of people running out of the city, people separating from themselves. If you read the sign in Towson about the courthouse, the word separation appears three times. That has got to change. And we need a school system for all our kids, not just kids in Catonsville, where I grew up, or Towson, where I moved my family. We need schools all over the county that perform for people. We had a big chance here with this county executive.
Well, I'm going to disagree with Damien
a
little bit there.
Go ahead. Let's fight about Baltimore County.
Although it's Baltimore positive. But we can talk about Baltimore County.
No. We got to talk about problems here.
As someone who chaired County Executive Ushefsky's Budget Commission, I think his budget addresses all of those issues. And I think, realistically, it does do what it needed to do within certain parameters. In other words, there is the first income tax increase in 30 years. Long overdue.
That was brave.
Listen, folks, I was at that table. We should have raised taxes during both with both of the executives that I work.
But they're trying to get reelected.
But
that's me being a resident.
What's the value proposition?
So Johnny's taking those steps. I think Johnny recognizes that we continue to have school issues, infrastructure issues. So I think his budget is a very aggressive budget, and I actually would say a more forward-looking budget than many that I was part of drafting and putting together. So,
well, let me talk like a mayor for a minute here. And
but
Mr.
That was
Educator,
his opportunity.
Don, on your tombstone, it won't say county executive. It might say father, Catonsville, but it's going to say educator. That's what you went to school for. It's what you spent the first 35 years of your professional life doing. Yeah. You're still here trying
Hopefully
to educate
it says
me.
Husband, dad, and granddad, then educator.
All
but
right.
Okay.
Every time I get
but they're
together,
all educators.
Every time I get together with a bunch of wonks, right, and we talk about Johnny O, we talk about taxes and all this stuff, we're going to raise taxes. Well, why? Well, we got to make the schools better. Well, I mean, when we talked about schools, our kids need to be educated.
Let's talk about schools.
Why does education always go to the bottom? And I don't mean the bottom, but I mean in this country, we'd rather fight wars and have this creep run the country.
Let's start with facts, and then I'll let Damien rebut it. 55% in Baltimore County of the Baltimore County budget goes toward education.
Wow.
55%.
How much of Baltimore City? Or do you not know that?
I don't know that.
Well, So 55% of all taxes raised
go to education in Baltimore County.
Teachers, parks, schools,
correct,
facility. What else does that mean? Community college. Give me everything under that umbrella.
No, when you put, I'm just talking about
Towson
schools.
University get any of that because it's in? I'm only asking. No, okay. Stevenson.
Not much. Basically.
Like okay.
But if we had some
community
brave
colleges in K-12,
I got a lot of hope for this guy, Johnny Yoshevsky. I think he's a brave guy. He did have a big. He did make some moves in this budget. I'm just saying it's a time to go big. Let's look where we are right now. We're going to put a brand new high school in Lansdowne, right? Which is what? Is that currently under capacity down there? Is it over capacity?
It's pretty much at capacity.
Catonsville, over capacity.
Correct.
Woodlawn, under capacity.
Correct.
So we're going to build a new school in the Southwest. People's tax dollars are going to go to pay for that. I guarantee you when that's all said and done, you're going to have over capacity in Catonsville, you'll be at capacity in Lansdowne, and you'll be under capacity in Woodlawn. Nobody wants to have one school system for everybody. They want a balkanized school system in this local government. It drives me crazy.
It's a
big chance to break that open.
Is that race divided?
Certainly race. It's race and class, and it's a complicated issue. It's probably a complete series on Baltimore positive.
Well, we didn't have any racial problems in Dundalk.
But it's race and class, and it's economic development, and it's housing values. It's all of those things. So we know there are challenges for the next mayor. Damien, you've worked for some really quality people in your life. Before we came on, I said to you, talk a little bit about the folks you've worked for and what you take away in terms of leadership.
Talk about Baltimore Positive. Yeah, Baltimore Positive. My first guy I ever worked for was Nathaniel J. McFadden, went on to be the majority leader, the highest-ranking African-American official in the state Senate.
How'd you get that gig?
I was interviewing with a Republican guy down here in Southwest Baltimore, and then Mike Miller funded a small budget for like a law clerk like me to go and
80s?
Corral.
When is this? Late 80s?
This is 1997.
97, late 90s. Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah. And so Nathaniel McFadden was the chairman of the city senators. We had 10 senators then. We have 6 now. We had regional senators. They represented Southwest Baltimore and Southwest Baltimore County, things like that. What I loved about this guy is I would sit in there. He would eat lunch by himself. Lobbyists would come by. My job was, ironically, to push the lobbyists out of the door, right? And to push the guys that would ultimately write the wire for David Simon, those reporters, Bill Zorzi, push them out of the way. The one time I saw him have people in his office and interrupt his lunch was a little bag lunch. Was a bunch of school kids, and they said, "We want to name a state dinosaur." It's the most absurd concept, right? And
I go with Stegosaurus.
Yeah, yeah, it's the Astrodon Johnsonized, the state dinosaur. And he used that as a way to educate all of these kids about how the process worked. They came down for a bill. We passed a bill to have a state dinosaur called the Astor John Johnson Eye, which was founded in Laurel. And I just love the fact that that guy eschewed the insiders, welcomed the outsiders. And that's when I started learning, those are the people with the stories. I don't want
to
tell the story.
Listen to what you just said, though. That's great.
Somebody that's getting paid to sit in front of me. No. But what it is, eschew the insiders means the people that are getting paid to sit in front of me, I'm not really interested in. Yeah. I'm interested in the people that I'm here who pay me to represent them.
Well, that's
literally what you do.
And Damien will tell you, because he's lived it on both sides, is the real challenge of money and politics. Oh. And when you get into the next mayor's race, actually, Nestor, you asked, and God bless her, she just gave him a direct answer. Nestor said, can you win a race for mayor with no money? She said, no.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, Barbara McCauley says you can't go to a gunfight with a water pistol.
With a water pistol. That was the way she put it.
That's fair.
So, you know, and folks will by this time, when this airs, they will have listened
to this. But money ain't everything.
Money's not everything, but it is some of it. So, with McFadden, you saw this willingness to be open to others.
Clarence Blount is another majority leader I work for in the state Senate, a West Baltimore educator, another African-American leader. He was terrific, because I remember we had Senate Bill 509, which was, Nestor, your side of town went bonkers over Dutch's efforts to try to use eminent domain to take down some of those terrible properties and the conditions people were living in. And, you know, we had Rick Impalaria, and it was the invention of Rick Impalaria, came down to testify in Annapolis, just going bonkers. And Blount stood there listening through the entire test. They had busloads of people. He stood there the whole time and just was present and gave them their fullest attention. And he didn't like a word that was coming out of their mouths. He knew where some of this venom was coming from. But he let them have their day, and he just absorbed it. And I just learned about sort of senatorial comportment, gubernatorial comportment, the way you hold
yourself.
Kind of
like the president acts every day, like that, right? That sort of leadership.
Which president would that be?
That kind of leader. The kind of leadership we're talking about. Right. Tolerance, patience, understanding, looking at all the facts, that sort of thing.
Let me tell you about the first white guy I ever worked for was a former judge that Don worked for, also Baltimore County Executive Jim Smith. I sort of ironically, again, gave me a book called How to Break All the Rules. And this was a judge saying to me, like, you know, you've got a certain talent to get outside of the box. Run with it. Go with it. But what he taught me was my entire business. And I think the one good thing you'll see out of one of the legacies of what's recently happened in Baltimore will be this fund that he created, right, which is to get money into those neighborhoods that Don's talking about, not the waterfront neighborhoods. He taught me the way you get around the same old boy politicians and the same old way of doing things is you go straight to the community, you sell the community on your vision, they will correct you and give you a new vision, you take that vision and you roll over any
opposition.
Because
then it's not your idea, it's their idea.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what happened.
And that's my whole business, is people are like, oh, you're a lobbyist? I'm like, no, I'm not a lobbyist. On occasion, I have to register as a lobbyist, but my real role is getting the will of the people to roll over the same old nonsense that doesn't work. And that's how you get great communities like downtown Columbia. That's how you get amazing tourist attractions and global hubs like National Harbor. That's how you get Port Covington and Harbor East. That's how you get a Towson that really cooks and hums.
Well, that's how you get Harbor Place and the aquarium and the science center 40 years ago.
Yeah, and
I bet you
Jim Smith learned a lot of that from Schaefer.
A very close friend of his. And it's fun. It's interesting that Damien, and I know we'll wrap up here. We got a few things left to talk about. But Damien mentioned Jim Smith. I'd been with Jim about a month, and I don't remember the specific issues.
How well did you know him when you went to work for him?
Not at all. I mean
you were literally you were a school teacher.
I was an area superintendent, right. But I just, actually I had retired and was working as a consultant. But not well. It's shake hands, hi, Judge, how are you?
The way
Judge?
The Catonsville high principal would know the county executive.
Just to say hi. But in the first month, there were two or three issues where he could have chosen door A or door B. And door B was the better choice. Door A was the more politically expedient, safer choice. Each and every time, he chose door B. And I can remember saying to my wife, this is really fascinating. This guy has made three choices. each time choosing the one that's not as politically expedient as
I was
the one
always pointing
have.
To the other.
Right, David was pointing to the other.
Because he felt he
well,
was convicted.
I asked
right?
him. Yes. I asked him. I said to him, I couldn't take it anymore. When I said, boss, you got to tell me. I'm really impressed. Tell me what's behind that. And he said, Don, here's what I've learned in my life. Every day, if you do the right thing and you make the right choice, the politics will take care of itself. And I think that's what the next mayor needs to remember. The politics, that's what Jim Smith said, will take care of itself. So, listen, as we wrap up, you've been out there on the president. You've done this Iowa thing, man. You slept all over the country for Martin O'Malley. Tell us what it's like out there for 21 candidates right now. You've been at 1%.
Well, and the other
polls.
Thing is, you knew there was you were going to have a hard time winning, right? Like,
no.
You never believed that.
No. Damien
believed?
Was a believer.
I was a true believer. I felt like that Hillary.
Well, they all think they have a hard time winning. Reality,
I felt,
right?
I felt that Hillary was going to that lost to Barack Obama. If she didn't have it then, she wasn't going to have it again. I had no idea right. that some wild haired. U.S. Senator out of Vermont that wasn't even in my party.
It wasn't even a
was
Democrat.
Was going to steamroll everybody right. And just
why
build
did that happen in your mind? What was Bernie's message that got me down to the Royal Farms Arena
because,
for his thing? And when I walked into the Bernie rally, this was at the time where I'm keeping my politics to myself, right? Because I was sticking to sports, you know, like I've done here. But I went to Bernie's rally in Baltimore. There were 3,200 Birkenstock, Mount Washington, nice people. And I thought, the people here are way too nice. And I 4 months later, this ass clown wins, and now
here we
you know,
go.
Like you know,
Bernie, here we go. Bernie Sanders, you talk about money. Bernie Sanders was able to do something nobody else was, right. which is get $27 a month from people, because the world that Hillary—that's
the money.
The world had Hillary Clinton had built and been a part of had broken open and was seen for what it was, which is a little bit hollow, a little bit of a sellout for the next generations. And so he took $27 from all these disaffected Democrats and independents, even some Republicans. He bundled it up and gave it to the media companies that are owned by Wall Street, which is how he raised the money. So you got to understand that running for president is a business. And I learned that the hard way.
Is about the money. So that's what Barbara Mikulski says to me.
And so he did it a different way. But money is critical. But I, you know, here's what I learned.
Is that the way Barack Obama did it? Was it about money
for him? He had
start with money, right?
He had Pritzker money, but he also had the lower dollar grassroots money.
He built
money.
This incredible social
organization.
This is where you'll get it from me. Is I was at the ABC News presidential debate, the Democratic primary debate, and everybody has these important issues they're bringing out. We're wondering why it's on the weekend. Like, it's competing with football games, all these other things. It's the same weekend as The Force Awakens, right? So, like, Disney owns ABC News. Disney owns ABC News. Disney owns the new Star Wars franchise.
ESPN.
Hillary Clinton closes the debate with "May the Force be with you." Despite everything that was said that was fairly important, the number one quote of the entire debate was "May the Force be with you." What a big win that was for ABC. What a big win that was for Disney. And once you understand that, you can get to understand the question now, which is, can the American media afford to not have another 4 years of Donald Trump? Can the American media find another way to have New York Times subscriptions through the roof? Everybody watching MSNBC
breaking
over
news,
Fox.
Breaking news,
you
breaking
know,
news.
How can the media afford not to reelect
right. Morning
Donald
Joe,
Trump?
Highest ratings ever. Rachel
right.
Maddow, highest ratings ever.
So they hate
well,
him.
I'd move my company right. from sports to politics because that's
you go to
what
Iowa.
We're talking about.
You go to Iowa, you have a deep conversation like you've never had in Maryland. These constituents know 6, 7, 8 levels deep on every issue. They quiz you on them. You get to level 2. They move on. But also, you'll meet this lovely lady, and she'll be on your side, and then she reminds you, hey, man, I got an Afghan, you know, I got some quilts. You know, can you buy some quilts? So it's like the whole thing is a hustle.
Well,
America is a business, you know, and so it's, you know.
Damien O'Doherty getting worked up, everybody.
You got to realize
and
that.
And he's a progressive.
And that's what I tell. Yeah, I can tell people, man, if you want to run for office at the local level of the state, you got to understand that this country is a business. And most people are enthusiastic about that.
See,
they
I still thought it was a democracy and it was about social and like it's not.
It's all built to support capitalism. It's all built to support
rich people
that have means.
People have money.
Yeah,
they run the place.
It all goes to the top.
Well, how are we going to do this in the Baltimore side? Where does the money – how does the money affect Baltimore? How did the money affect – Pugh and Stephanie Rawlings Blake and Sheila, like, where's the money going to be the next 16 months where the Ravens don't
sell
skyboxes?
Well, right now the money's on Jack. Here's, you know, Jack Young will likely do what Sheila Dixon did. I was the wrong end of that. I was behind Kiefer, and boy, I'd love to know what the story would be like if Kiefer were mayor, but it'd be a
so
lot better, right? So, but
I love,
you know,
Kiefer.
What Sheila was able to do when O'Malley got elevated was she was able to take that group of people I talked to, those three communities, and lock them up, lock all their money up. Jack Young should be able to do that if he wants to, and that'll make him a prohibitive favorite.
Yeah, if he wants to, that will be the big question.
That'll make him a prohibitive favorite.
So you become a favorite the minute you get the money. That's what you're telling me.
Oh, yeah. You scare people off.
Yeah, you scare
Pugh
other people.
Pugh was in the process of scaring a lot of people.
Yeah, that would have been over.
She had $1 million. Steve Seibel did
told,
an amazing
Nestor
job.
And I talked
not
about
to
that.
Mention how much she stole.
That would have been over. That was personal. That's another issue. Listen, we never let any Baltimore positive. We don't let our guests get away without knowing. We know at KO Public Affairs, we know what you do, making a difference all over the country. What does Damien O'Doherty and his family do to kick back, relax? What's fun in the O'Doherty family?
I see this on Facebook. I know the answer to this.
We love being outside, you know? I mean, that's the one thing that I never really understood. I lived in the middle of Patapsco State
and never
Park.
Went for a walk in the park?
Never went for a walk in the park. And all I was focused on was this whole story in my head.
Were you afraid of the snakes? Because that's what always keeps me away.
No, I think I was just trying to achieve and be some person that I thought other people wanted me to be.
Significant enough to be on my show one day.
Exactly. I made it there. I made it. So
you're
getting outside.
You're a music guy.
I love the music. Yeah. I love music. Yeah. I don't know how to play a lick. I just love to pay attention.
Prince or Zappa? Well, you got one here. Which one?
Man, that's a good question. I'm a Baltimore guy, so I have to go with Zappa.
Yeah, go Zappa. All right, it's fine.
But my buddy Marty Knotts got me into Jerry Garcia, and it's hard not to love Freddie Mercury.
By the way, Stone State's out this morning, July 3rd.
There you go.
In D.C. Mick is back.
All this right here at State Fair. You have one concert to see. You got one left. You can only see one more concert in your life. Who do you go see?
I grew up listening to a band called Widespread Panic. And
you're a Widespread guy.
Yeah, which is sort of a jam band and awfully, terribly white of me. But that's what I would like to do.
I think it's been a great edition of Baltimore Positive.
I made Don really uncomfortable today.
Don
wants no part of me with Freeman Hrabowski 2 weeks from today. we're taking next week off for the holiday.
Next week off. But
give everybody a little recap of Barbara and Damien. Yeah.
Can I tell you something? I'm out in Aspen, UMBC, in the house. I go to the Ideas Festival. The Surgeon General of the United States there, he's obviously a physician. He's a UMBC graduate. I raised my hand. I said, how do we get more people like you, African-American scientists in STEM and pipeline? And he said, we need more Freeman Hrabowskis.
Oh.
Freeman, and he said the day that he tweeted out about UMBC's upset against UVA was the biggest blow-up he's ever had on the Surgeon General's Twitter feed. So Freeman Hrabowski, to me, is the most positive thing we have in this country. I mean, he is... I mean, I wish he were into politics because he is an amazing leader. He's everything you want in somebody, and he just gives and gives and gives and gives.
I never met him.
Without a doubt, I'll bring the pom-poms. May the 30th here at State Fair in Catonsville, 9 a.m. in the morning. If you have never had a chance to listen to, say hi to Freeman Hrabowski, you are in for a treat because I'm with Damien. I simply think I'm in the front row of the Freeman Hrabowski fan club. Just incredible on every
level. Is Pete Carinci going to give me a UMBC shirt to wear? I get a fresh one?
I don't know. You'll have to ask Pete.
Talk to Pete.
Deserve one. You knew about UMBC before anybody.
I have my gold UMBC hair on fire little thing that I might wear.
You can wear it that day. Damien O'Doherty.
Get into this race and shake things up, Nestor. It'd be a lot of fun to watch.
Shake his hand.
Damien O'Doherty.
There you go.
KO Public Affairs. This is what, Nestor? Baltimore Positive?
Don's never going to speak to me again. We're WNST.net, AM 1570, WNST Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore Positive. Have a great holiday.